Heavenly Father, we thank you today. As we come to deliver the word, I pray, Father, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be upon everything that's said and done. I thank you, Father, that the ears will be open. There will be listening hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You know, we've been having some thunderstorms over the last few days. Anybody notice that? And out in my front yard, I got some big trees, and I noticed that, man, the rain is beating down, and the wind is blowing, and the trees are swaying back and forth. But then the storm passes, the sun comes out, and that tree is standing strong, standing tall in its place. That's what I want to talk about this morning, standing tall in your place. You know, actually, that should be all of us as believers. No matter what storm comes against us, as we stand upon the Word of God, when it's all said and done, we're still standing. You know, one scripture says, after having done all, stand. You know, no matter what happens, don't let anything get you off course from serving God. You know, if you're going to be successful in the natural and the spiritual, you have got to determine not to be moved out of your place. You know, let's go back to 1955, 56, 57, 58. I was a teenager. You know, I don't know what kids do today, but some of y'all can identify with this, but we used to, you know, we'd just cruise down around the square and out the other end of town to Lindy's drive-in out there and go back around the square and go out the highway and go out to Lindy's number two out here and back and forth. We'd just cruise around. And, you know, Lindy's was like a Sonic, but we pull in there and they had what they call car hops. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes some of them have on skates even. And they were always all girls. And we would pull up there and order something. They bring it out and they hang it on the side of your car. You know, anybody old enough to remember that? I got a few people, okay. You know, we really didn't go there for the French fries and the frosted root beer. We went there for the car hops. You know, we're 15, 16, 17-year-old guys. But today, I see too many Christians that are sort of like we were back then, just cruising around, no particular destination, not interested in doing anything. They cruise around from church to church. They don't stay in one specific place long enough for God to even help them to get in an assignment. Now, why do people do that? Some, because they don't know any better. Now, I don't know, when I grew up, you were taught loyalty. I think that's gone out the window in today's society, and doesn't seem like anybody's loyal to anything. But if you're going to have success in the natural and in the spiritual, you're going to be loyal. And now, some of them, sometimes they cruise from church to church because they always got their feelings on their shoulder and they get offended, and somebody sat in their seat, so they go to another church, you know. Now somebody said, I turned the seating. I used to be in charge of, when Dad was alive, we were having the camp meetings downtown. Anybody ever go to the camp meetings downtown when we had, you know? And people would get so mad if somebody got in their seat. They said, I always sit there. I said, well, there's no saving the seats. I mean, you know. And so I finally turned it over I have to turn it over to Tony Cook because I almost lost my cool one day with one guy, and I decided, hey, I better. I had a responsibility of running the whole camp meeting, you know, and I got stuff coming at me from every direction. And now this guy is upset because he has to set one row behind where he was sitting, you know. But some people, that's them, you know. If they don't have a reserved parking place, they won't come to church. You know, that's the way they just cruise back and forth. They never stay anywhere. Some people got stars in their eyes and they believe, okay, if I go over here, maybe they'll use me. If I go over here, maybe they'll use me. No, you're not going to get used at all because you don't stay one place long enough for anybody to even know that you can do anything. You know, some get knocked out of their place by conflict because they get in conflict with somebody. And some people are victims of sheep stealing. I'm serious now. Some of you have you've probably had other people from other churches trying to get you to go to their church. Well, I say if people are in church, going to church, leave them alone. If God wants them to move, he'll move them. Hello? Then some people just allow the devil to manipulate them. But if you're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, you've got to learn how to take your place and stay where God's got you. The Apostle Paul there on Mars Hill, and when I was in Athens last time, I got to go up there. And he said this to them in Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now the NLT says it like this: "For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring." Paul had a revelation about who we are in Christ. And he had the revelation of how vitally it is for us to stay connected with Christ. One of the greatest things that you can learn from the teachings of the Apostle Paul is the revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. Redemptive realities, I call it. You know, he declared that whatever position, wherever you're at, nothing moves you out of your position. He then was speaking to the believers at Ephesus in Acts 20:24, and he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, the modern English version says it like this: "But none of these things deter me, nor do I count my life valuable to myself, so that I may joyful finish my course and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, here's what you need to know. Paul was headed to Jerusalem. And if you read the whole account, I just read, you'll find out that everywhere he went, it was testified that trouble awaited him in Jerusalem. Anybody ever read that? No. But he said, "None of these things move me," because God was directing him and he was not going to be moved. His attitude, it didn't bother him as long as he knew that that's where God had told him to go. You know, some people may think that this position of being the president of a worldwide ministry and the pastor of a nice-sized church, the head of this Bible school here, and 259 or ever how many of them they are around the world, you know, that's glorious position. Well, let me tell you something. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of other things. And sometimes I wanted to. You know, but everything is great when it's all going good. But let me tell you what. When the enemy comes in and stuff starts going crazy, the devil always begins to whisper to your ear in your ear in the nighttime and suggest that you go some other place. Of course, I'm the only one that has that problem. None of you have ever had that problem. Oh, evidently I got some friends in here. You know, but I had to choose not to be moved by circumstance or anything else. I had to decide to stay where I was put. Back in 1974 and 75, when Rhema Bible College first started, let me tell you what. I started out with another teacher beside myself, and then Dad would come off the road and he'd teach for a week or two, and then he's gone. We started in September. By Thanksgiving, I was the only teacher left except when Dad would come in. Now I'm having to my office, they pay their bill, I pay all the offices. I do everything in my office. I don't have no admissions office. I don't have nothing but me in my office. And you know, I'm teaching four hours a day, then going to office and take care of everything. I come home at night and I'm exhausted. I'm fried. And you know, many times, man, I didn't have to start this school. Why don't I just, when it's over at the end of the year, why don't we just shut this thing down? But you know what? I knew that that wouldn't be right, because that's not the place God put me. So I stayed put, and here we are today, 46 years later, and things are going great. You know, I still have problems, but thank God I got Lynette and Craig and Denise and a whole bunch of other people that help me now. But back then, it was just me. Now, what is my point to all that? Where you are in your life right now, it's just you. So stay put with God where he's got you, and you'll come out on the other side victorious. See, I talked about me because I know you don't want me to talk about you. So I talk about me. But I've had to stand in my place in order to be where we are today. And I want you to realize you're there many times by yourself. But stay where God's got you. If it's in your secular job, in wherever you're serving in the church, stay where God's got you till he moves you somewhere else. Don't let something else move you. Don't let something manipulate you out of your place. You don't get any rewards by choosing to do it the easy way. How many of you guys, I don't know about the other people, but how many of you guys played football in high school or college? Yeah? Did you ever win a game because you took it easy? No. It was hard work, day after day. Hitting that tackling dummy, hitting that blocking sled, doing wind sprints, caught somebody else doing a 100-yard wind sprint because somebody else messed up. Now the whole offense has to run a 100-yard sprint, and then the minute you finish, you get back in position and run that same play over again. And if somebody messed up, you run another 100 yards. And I'm talking about with full equipment on. I'm not talking about with shorts and shoulder pads and a helmet. I'm talking about full equipment. You know, but you see how important it is to stay in your place. If you're going to win, you have to stay in your place doing what you are supposed to do. Now let me go on a little further. See, because somebody didn't stay in their place and do what they were supposed to do, it affected all of us. And in the church, because you don't stay where you're, where God's got you doing what God's got you to do, doing, then it affects the whole church. Oh, that's a bad place to be quiet. You know, in the Word of God, it talks about that the body of Christ, Paul compares it to the physical body over there, right? Have you ever noticed if you get up in the middle of the night to go get a drink of water or something and you stump your little toe? Have you ever noticed how much that affects you for a couple of 3 days? That seems like an insignificant part of the body. But let me tell you, I've done it before. Man, it affects you. Anybody else ever done that before? It affects the whole body, right? What I'm trying to get across to us is that, and it, in our work, the same thing happens in our work, that what we do affects everybody else around us. What we do here for God in the church affects everything around us. What you do with you that are heads of families, your moms, your dads, what you do affects your family. You kids, what you young people, what you do affects your family. So stay tall doing what you're supposed to do. Come on. The reward goes to those that learn to stand tall. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil days, having done all, stand. New Living says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you're still standing firm. After the storm. The Basic English Bible says, for this reason, take up all the arms of God, so that you may be able to be strong in the evil day, having done all, to keep your place. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you in your place? You'll not go very far in life until you learn to stay in your place. Anybody run track in high school or college? Yeah. You're assigned a lane. And you stay in that lane. It's usually marked off. When I was running, it was the old cinder tracks. And they used the white chalk lines. Now I think they got them into those tartan tracks. I think they're all in there. But I want to tell you what. If you step on that line, you're disqualified. You got out of your lane. You got to stay in your lane. God has all of you in a lane. He has you doing what he has you doing. So stay there. And don't disqualify yourself. Stay there till he tells you to get in another lane. Now, some of the races that we ran back when I was in high school, 1957, 58, when I was running, the 440, they called it back then, 440 yards, it's 400 meters. It was called a middle distance race. And after you come off, you went on this curve and come off this curve, you could break lanes. You can't do all that now, but back then you could. But you got to make sure that you're past that point before you break your lane. Now, some of you know that Cameron, my oldest grandson, drives race cars and sprint cars, dirt on the track. And when they come out, they're coming out of corner number one there. There's a white line across the deal. If you're, the two cars are coming like this. If you take off before you get to that white line, they're going to make you go back one and move the guy in front of you because you disqualified yourself because you took off before the start line. See, they're in every area of life, they are lanes. They are lines. We need to learn how to stand tall in our lane, doing what God told us to do, defending our place, staying in our place, maintaining everything that God has given to us. You know, let's go back to a football analogy. Everybody thinks the quarterback is the most important person on the team, and he is very, very important. But I don't care how great a quarterback you got, if he doesn't have 11 other guys contributing, forget it. Doing what they're supposed to do. I was playing ball. We had a halfback, and he was really good. That's what we called him back then. Back when I played, you had a quarterback, and you had two halfbacks and a fullback. Some we ran the old T formation, and then the split T. Anybody know? Anybody old enough to ever run those? And so he's always talking about how good he was, and how much that, how the team, you know, how he was just it. So we all got together. We told the coach what we was going to do. He said, good. Because he was tired of hearing him brag too. The quarterback handed him the ball, the rest of us just fell down on the ground. He's staring 11 defensive players in the face with no help whatsoever. Guess what happened? He got obliterated by about 7 or 8 guys. He was on the bottom of the pile. We went back to huddle and we all looked at him and said, now how good are you without us? So why don't you just be quiet and do your job and we'll do ours. You know what? We never had any more problems out of him. See, I said all that to say, every one of you are important in the kingdom of God. You have a place. God has put you in a place. I don't care if you're behind the scenes working in the nursery or somewhere else and nobody ever sees you. How many of you see our traffic control people as you drive in? How many of you ever roll the window down and thank them? I do it all the time. I wave at them as I go by and then roll the window down and say thank. They're standing out there in the hot. They stay out there in the cold. They stay out there in the rain. But if we got a lot of traffic, what happens if we don't have traffic control? It's a mess, right? How many of you enjoy having the words on the screen? How many of you enjoy being able to see all of that up there? Now you see a camera operator and a couple of camera operators, but you know what? You don't see the people that's behind that screen. There's a room up there, it's the control room. There's many different people up there doing a lot of different things, directing, one person telling which camera's on, one person is technically watching to make sure that all the bars and everything's like it's supposed to, the colors like it's supposed to be. There's one person that has to put up all those words on the screen. You never see them. Probably never even think about them. But look how important they are. Huh? Just like Tad up here a while ago, he was going to do the offering prayer. They put it on that screen for him so he could do it. You see, I'm saying all this, I want everybody to realize how important you are in the kingdom of God, but I want you also to take this into your natural life and see how important you are where you're at, where you work, in your family, where everybody is important, because if when everybody stands tall in their place, everything works great. Hello? You know, a lot of people do things that nobody ever sees, but they're important. They're very important. You know, everybody thinks about the brain, and everybody thinks about their eyesight and all the other parts. But I'm going to tell you what, none of that is any good without a muscle right here in your chest called a heart. You never see it, but the rest of the body functions because of that. What I'm trying to say to you is, it doesn't matter where you're at. Don't lose the sight of the fact of how important you are to your family, to your work, and to God. Stand tall. You know, it's one thing to obtain a victory, but it's another to maintain it. You know, I served in the U.S. Army, and thank God I never had to go into real combat. I was fired upon a couple of times, but that's nothing. But the guys on the front lines in the battles are thought about as being the most important. They are very important. But you know who the most important people are? The guys that are in the back call the supply line, because the guys up front can't do anything if they lose their supply line. How many of you have served military? Is that not correct? Wave your hand if that's not correct. You know, during World War II, General George Patton, he was a tank commander and very good at it. He took off with his tanks, and he outrun his supply line, and they got really almost obliterated. They formed something they call the Red Ball Express, and there's a movie about it. But that is true. It's a true story if you go read. In order, they just had one fuel truck after another fuel truck running to catch up with him to keep those tanks fuel, because they run out of fuel and they got blowed out of the other tanks got them. But you see, the supply line is important. Now let me go back here. Your supply line with heaven is important. If you don't keep that supply line open through prayer and reading the Word of God, you're going to end up blowed up like those tanks were, because they outrun their supply line. See, it's important to realize that if you're behind the scenes, wherever you're at, it's important to realize without you, it wouldn't work. Remember in 1 Samuel 30, 22-24. Ziklag had been overrun, and they come back with the plunder, and the men didn't want to give the guys that stayed with the supplies. They didn't want to share with them. And David told them, listen, they're just as important as you were, because they stayed with the stuff. We often think that the person that's seen is the important one, but it takes everybody. It takes everybody. How many of you ever think about being back there at the controls of the audio? You know? I was talking, but only the people right here close to me could hear what I was saying. See, he's important. You know, these singers up here, they have what they call ears, and they, so they can hear what different things. And there's somebody back there controlling what you hear. You know, I'm saying all of this. My whole message this morning is for you to understand how important you are in the kingdom of God, how important you are in the in your natural life, and how important you are in your family life. I mean, anybody getting a hold of what I'm trying to say to you today? We overlook these things. Many, many times we overlook these things. We overlook these, and we begin to think that we're insignificant and that we don't matter. You know, what if y'all all come out here and there was nobody on this platform? 10 o'clock comes and you're sitting there and no musicians, no singers, no preacher. Say, well, but hey, you're just as important. Because I did those online services when there wasn't nobody out there but Craig and Lynette and maybe Denise sitting out there. I want to tell you what, it's no fun to preach to them pews. Right, guys? You have to look at that camera and imagine people. Have you noticed what they're doing when they're playing some of these ball games? I saw it on TV last night. And they've got cardboard cutouts of people and they got them in the chairs. And I think they're playing some kind of soundtrack for noise, you know, like a crowd. I told them, if we ever have to do that again, I'm gonna cut some people out and set them. I need. No, maybe we need to take a picture of all of y'all and make cutouts. And then where y'all all normally, as I look across the auditorium, I can tell you where most everybody sits. Because they sit in the same place. Everybody's normally, how many of y'all normally sit within the same area when you come to church? See, I can put y'all all there and then it'd be just like you being here. No. We need to understand that it's very important that we all do what we are supposed to do, where we're supposed to do it, when we're supposed to do it. You know, in Luke 19, 12 through 13, there was a certain nobleman. He went into a far country to receive himself another kingdom and return. He called 10 servants, delivered to them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. Other translations say, do business, trade, invest. In other words, they were to take care of everything until he returned. Occupy means to go right on, taking care of business, whatever. That's what the Lord told us. He said when he ascended, there outside of Jerusalem, as he ascended, the angel said, this same Jesus that you see going will come again in like manner. And he's told us to occupy till he comes again. So that means each of us have to stay where we're at, doing what God told us to do until he returns. You see, it's important that you stay where you're at, no matter what anybody else does. In 2 Samuel 23:11-12, it says that the next in rank was Shema, son of Agi from Hara. One time the Philistines gathered at Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils, or that's beans. The Israelites' army fled, but Shema held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought a great victory. Now, what is the significance of defending a bean patch? But God called it a great victory. He stood tall in his place. It didn't matter if everybody else took off. He stayed where he's supposed to. You know, when God assigns you to be somewhere, then be there. Determined to stay where God called you until he says to do something else. You know, God calls people and puts them in positions, and it's very important. Let me tell you a little story. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who led D.L. Moody to Christ. We know a lot about in church history about D.L. Moody, but nobody knows much about Mr. Kimball. But yet this man was there in his place, leading these young men to Christ and then teaching them. Nobody noticed that, what a great victory it was that day when he led Moody to Christ. Now the rest of the story. Kimball could not have known the chain of events that started by leading Moody to Christ. Dwight L. Moody was led to Christ by Kimball, Edward Kimball. J. Wilbur Chapman received the assurance of salvation by personal counseling of D.L. Moody. Billy Sunday was influenced by J. Wilbur Chapman while working for him for a short time. Mordecai Ham was invited to hold an evangelistic meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, largely because of Billy Sunday's Layman's Evangelistic Club, later called Charlotte Businessmen's Club. Billy Graham was converted at that 1934 meeting in Charlotte in Mordecai Ham's meetings. Now look at the chain of events. Choo, 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 choo. Let me go to my own life. Did a man by the name of Kenneth Turner, that was my Sunday school teacher, that imparted a lot into my life, because Dad was traveling all the time and he imparted a lot into my life. Did he know where I would be today and how many people that God has helped me to influence into ministry all over the world? There's Seth Vidar. That's over Rhema, Kenya. There's that Barry Jensen. That's over Rhema, Ukraine. Kenneth Turner didn't know that 9, 10, 11-year-old boy that was as mischievous as you can be. I'm serious. He had no idea what God had in mind for me. Now, I'm saying all this to say this. Wherever you're at working for God, you have no idea the ripple effect that it can have, especially working with youth and children. You see, millions have been reached for God through Rhema. And it all started with a 9, 10, 11-year-old boy sitting in Kenneth Turner's Sunday school class. Some of you have had the privilege of teaching some of the young people that's gone out of this church that are now in the ministry. See, only heaven will reveal the impact that each of you will have on the world that you live in. Today, I've endeavored to show you how important you are. How important it is for you to stay in your place. Don't become discouraged. Don't be moved out of your place because somebody didn't say hi or somebody got your seat. Because your place is important to God and to future generations as the Lord tarries His coming. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people out of my heart for a few moments today. And I trust that every individual will understand what I was trying to say and what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to them. I thank you, Father, that each of us will continue to stand tall in our place and do what God has called us to do and watch the Holy Spirit work. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, did anybody get anything out of this today? It was something that's on my heart, because people sometimes feel insignificant and they don't feel like they're accomplishing anything. But let me tell you something. You're accomplishing a whole lot more than you know. Especially you that work with the youth and the children. We got hundreds of volunteers that do that. Years ago, a person came to church and they said later, the thing that they were a visitor, the thing that impressed them and caused them to start coming to this church back then, they've moved on now, moved out of state, was the fact that when they come on the property, the parking lot attendant was there to help them. When they walked in the door, there was people there to help them to find where they should go. There were ushers. They said they had been to several different churches and they just had to walk into church and nobody tried to help them or nothing. You see, every individual is important. Point to yourself. Say this: I am important. I have a role to play in God's kingdom. I am something. I am not insignificant. I have a duty and a responsibility to God, my family, and myself. I will stand in my place doing what God has got me doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. I know that was a little different sermon, but it was, as you could tell, it's from my heart. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't He? You know, with trying to maintain some natural things, we're not asking people to come forward to be prayed for, but if you're in this congregation and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, are you in this congregation and you know what it is to have Christ, but you have just not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life? Or if you're watching and you need Christ or you need to rededicate your life, I want everyone to repeat this prayer after me in this congregation, you at home, wherever you're watching. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus that came to this earth, that lived, that died, and rose again. You said in your holy word, if I would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came and he died for my sin and he rose again, that if I would believe that and confess that, I would be saved. I'm confessing it and I believe it, and I thank you now that my life is changed forever. I am now a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us on out there, just go to your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know about it. If you prayed that prayer in this room right now, let one of these people in the red shirt know about it. That's they'll please. Praise the Lord. Tonight we'll be back here at 6 o'clock. Praise the Lord. Wednesday night, Hour of Power, 7 to 8. Amen and amen. Praise God. God is so good.